bikes are, you know, one way to get from one place to another, and it's really not that cold out this winter. It's probably in the 30s, so got my mitts on and my hat on, and, you know, I can get from one place to another.
Jonathan Gregory is an environmental activist who lives in Concord. He's riding his bicycle to a weekend's worth of training sessions for something called Transition Towns.
There's two things that we really just are conscious of, and it's peak oil and it's climate change. And those two things really are just because we've become aware of it and we've stopped contemplating whether it's true or false, we're just starting to prepare ourselves for what, you know, a future with less oil, less coal, less natural gas might look like.
To get on board with Transition Towns, that's the starting point. Climate change is real, and peak oil is real. For people like Jonathan Gregory, it's time to stop worrying and wringing your hands and start planning.
Infrastructure is a big part of it. We understand we're not going to change the infrastructure overnight. But we do want to start thinking about what that infrastructure might look like so that we can go to our city and city officials and planners and give them ideas of what a bike path could and should look like. Whew. So I got a bike rack up here.
Gregory and about 40 other climate change diehards have congregated for a week-long Transition Town training. The training focuses on teaching those diehards how to talk to Joe Public about global warming.
Rather than pitching your usual sustainability or economic resilience, or whatever your particular piece is, step back and say, let's have a conversation about community well-being, community resilience, because that's where we all, as neighbors, have common ground.
That was Tina Clark from Massachusetts, one of the two leaders of today's training. What's now called the transition movement started in Ireland when a college professor wrote an energy descent action plan for his village. The idea spread quickly, and today the Transition Town website recognizes over 400 official initiatives all over the world. This training, though, isn't about any sort of energy plans.
The transition model is a process. It's not giving out solutions. It's engaging your community and helping them to determine for themselves what their community needs. You know, where are the gaps between the green silos and how to connect the silos together?
Alistair Lowe is the other trainer for the day. He says the goal of today's training is to teach the people who are already thinking about climate change and oil issues to connect with others who are perhaps concerned but not active.
So if Harry and Bill and Sally all have an interest in microhydro and somebody's holding a discussion on it, they will meet each other. And that's when the magic happens. That's the self-organizing part of it. That's when the magic happens.
So the training weekend doesn't have any breakout sessions on how to install solar panels or rooftop gardens. Instead, it sounds like something somewhere between community organizing 101 and a support group. Most of the presentations focus on coalition building and achieving a critical mass of interest.
Whenever you sense disagreement or conflict, you look for the common ground and bring people together around that.
This might sound like a room full of alarmists, but there's a sense at this meeting that they're the ones who have their eyes open while the rest of the country has its head in the sand. And they're willing to wait patiently for everyone to come around.
What's the first stage of grieving? I submit to you that we may have a society that is actually beginning to grieve and to accept that the climate crisis is real. Denial, and then what's after that?
Anger.
And then what's after that? Bargaining, where we're trying to come up with a super technology and miracle that will save us.
Grace Garvey of Plymouth thinks that what they call the Great Transition has already begun. And pretty soon, people will start to come around.
Higher gas prices, stranger weather. I mean, you don't even have to read the science, or you don't have to listen to the politicians or the people who say that climate change isn't happening or peak oil isn't happening. You just have to step back and look at really the experiences that you've had as an adult.
She might be right that people are starting to come around. A recent study by the Brookings Institute found that public belief in global warming is climbing again, up to 69% from a low of 52% in the spring of 2010. Of those surveyed, a quarter say that it was warmer weather that convinced them. To be clear, no one at the training thought that gas was going to run out or the world was going to have to go through some sort of apocalyptic phase before getting society rejiggered to run without gas. What they describe is a slow, difficult change where it will again be important to know your neighbors because you'll need their help to get through. But that doesn't mean they don't see big changes on the horizon. I asked Grace Garvey to imagine using a time machine to visit the world after the Great Transition and what she saw there.
What I saw was a step back into, like, agricultural America. We're pre-1900s, and we're in small villages. Maybe we have our horse and buggy or bike to get around. And maybe there's a car, too, but a lot more public transportation. And maybe it's not run on the fuels that we know today. I don't see us living in grass houses, but I see us being more efficient, mindful of our resources, living in smaller communities, helping each other, living neighbor to neighbor. I really do see that.
And you can hear it in Garvey's voice. To her, that doesn't sound so bad. For Word of Mouth, I'm Sam Evans Brown.